It's Friday, the 13th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Shabazz Muhammad and Meta World Peace. And welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and ER9165. And if you want to be like ER9165, all you need to do to sponsor a podcast is leave a review on iTunes. It's pretty straightforward, and it is very much appreciated by myself. So thank you to everyone who has done that. Obviously, a big thank you to Moneyball.com.au as well for providing support for the podcast. And if you are in Australasia, make sure you're checking out Moneyball.com.au, Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site, and they've got a pretty big contest coming up tomorrow. I think it's a $5,000 contest up tomorrow, so make sure you're getting involved in that. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at @redrock_bball. Not a big day in the NBA, let's be honest. Only three games on, but there were still some very, very interesting performances, and we've got a big 11-game slate for Friday's games that we need to get to, so in the words of Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. I know a lot of people are anxiously awaiting to see which way that I went with this one, because it was two standout performances, obviously, but it's very hard. And not only is it very hard, it was impossible to go past Steph Curry again for, I think, the fourth or fifth time this season where he has got the monstrous line of the night. He had 46 points on 15 of 25 shooting and 8 of 8 from the line. He nailed another 8 threes, had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. And yes, Derek Favors was excellent as well. I'll talk about him a little bit later. But the fact that Steph scored at such just a ridiculous rate, and then he also shot a higher field goal percentage than Derek Favors. He was just out of control again. He's averaging over 5 threes a game. This is getting ludicrous at this stage. He is just putting on an absolute clinic. We haven't seen a start to a season like this from anyone. Maybe since Jordan, maybe there was someone else in between that you might want to let me know about, but he is just putting up some absolutely incredible numbers at the moment. And yeah, you're pretty happy if you had the second overall pick and you grabbed him, because there is literally no one better than Steph Curry at the moment in the NBA. The waiver wire line of the night goes to a guy in the Utah-Miami game, and it's Tyler Johnson. He is also the young gun of the night. It is his second season in the NBA. He played 29 minutes, had 17 points. He hit a three, had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, and was super efficient as well, going 8 of 12 from the field. And in, I don't know if it was yesterday's podcast, probably Wednesday's podcast, when I spoke with Matt, we were talking about the trade for the Heat and the Grizzlies. And I said the biggest winner out of the trade was going to be Tyler Johnson, because the Heat really liked him and they wanted to trade away Chalmers in terms of not only in just saving salary, which they did to a pretty large degree, but it opened up playing time for them to see Tyler Johnson and to see Josh Richardson in bigger roles. Richardson got the start today, but Johnson's the guy they're really sort of getting excited about. Now, his minutes and his role were increased slightly in this game because of Dwayne Wade's absence due to his son being in hospital. But Johnson is going to be the primary backup point guard on this team. With Goran Dragic struggling, there might be nights where he gets 24, 25 minutes a night. He's currently averaging 21 a night on the season. He's averaging 8.5 points, almost a 3, 2 assists, a steal, 56% shooting, which is just massive considering he was a 42% guy last year. That's going to come down. He's not a good free throw shooter, so be aware of that. He's a bad free throw shooter. Now, if you're in a league outside of 12-team league, so 14 and deeper, Tyler Johnson's a must-add. He's an okay speculative guy for 12-team leagues, but I don't really think he's going to retain 12-team league value. He's currently ranked 138, which is obviously in the realms of 12-team value, but a lot of that's based on a 56% shooting, which I can't see that sticking around at all, really. So that's going to drop off. But Tyler Johnson was going to be the big beneficiary of the Mario Chalmers trade. It started off like that in the first game. And he's going to be a really nice backup point guard. So all you deep league guys, you have to make sure that Tyler Johnson's owned. I think he'll continually play more minutes than Beno Udrih, and he will have some significant minutes going forward. He's also a really, really fun guy to watch. He's an awesome dunker. So if you ever get a chance to watch him get out there and throw down some dunks, Tyler Johnson, probably the most unassuming good dunker in the NBA. As Johnson was the young gun of the night and the waiver wire line of the night, I'm gonna go with the dud of the night now, and that is Markieff Morris. He played just 6 minutes, had 5 points. Actually, really efficient for Morris. 2 of 3 shooting. It hit a three. Had 2 rebounds and a steal. So had the makings of a decent night, but when you only play 6 minutes, it's really hard to produce enough value to be useful. Yes, he got injured. He had that knee problem, a sprained left knee, which might cost him a game or two. But as I always mention when I talk about these duds of the night, if you played him in DFS, it's a stinker right there. Which I did. He was in one of my Moneyball lineups. I had him. That wasn't a great one for me there. If you're in a Roto league with 82 game caps, you put him in. There goes a game out of that. If you're in a head-to-head matchup with weekly game limits, there's a matchup. There's one of those games gone as well. So that's why Markieff Morris gets the dud of the night. If you look at Markeith's season, it hasn't been ideal. He's way down in the rankings, ranked 203rd. He's got 25 minutes a game. There's been a couple of reasons for that, and most of it has been, well, there's been two games where he's been in early foul trouble, and now this injury. So that's dropped those minutes down. So don't be too concerned there. The shooting is what's killing him. 37% from the field. That will come up. He's like a 45, 46% guy. So that's going to come up. So someone will drop Markieff Morris. There'll be one of you guys listening out here who's in a league where Markieff Morris gets dropped to the waiver wire. You need to make sure you grab him. He is going to be a pretty consistent top 100 guy this year. I'm fairly certain. His other numbers are pretty much on par with his per 36s from last year. His rebounds are almost identical. His steals, his blocks are the same. He's scoring actually more this year. He's hitting more threes this season. It's just the percentage. When that comes back up and that normalizes, you're going to start to get big returns out of Markieff. So it could be a real buy low moment, or even just look to see if he's on the waiver wire. So I'm convinced that he's going to be a top 100 asset this season. So if for some reason, as I said, he is sitting around on your waiver wire, it makes sense to me to go and grab him. All right, let's get into these games now and talk about them, the three games, in a little bit more detail. Bring up the box scores on the screen for you guys watching along at home to have a look at. The first game of the night was the Utah Jazz and the Miami Heat. Disappointing that no Rudy Gobert with that sore ankle. He's also got to be considered doubtful for the game for Friday, so we'll talk about that a bit later. But that opened up way more minutes, way more opportunities for Derek Favors. And not only is Derek Favors stamping himself as the best big man on this team, he's stamping himself as the best player on this team. 25 and 12 for Favors. He had 2 assists, 3 steals, 7 blocks. He was shooting at 56% from the field. He was 71 from the free throw line. He's just putting up some big, big numbers. He's currently at 16 and 9 this year. And slight increases on last year. He's got his steals at 2.4 when he was a 0.8 guy last year. That's probably unrealistic. But the numbers he's putting up are great. Look, he's just looking really, really good at the moment. And at the moment, he's returning top 20 value. He probably doesn't stay as a top 20 guy because a lot of that is to do with those steal numbers, which will come down. But otherwise, he just looks way more aggressive on this team, and he's taking over in terms of the scoring. So some big value from Derek Favors. But just those steals, I don't think he's going to continue at a 2.4 rate. Gordon Hayward, he's getting back into business now, 24 and 11 with 3 assists, some really bad shooting, but otherwise he's getting back into it, so the buy low window is closing there. And Alec Burks had 24 points with 3 threes off the bench, not a lot of other stats, but a pretty nice night from him. Rodney Hood started and played 38 minutes, 10 points, 3 assists and 2 steals. Not a great night from Hood. Burks seems to be playing a lot, not seems to be, is playing better than Hood at the moment. They do offer things slightly differently, but if I'm picking between the two, I'm probably picking Burks for his current production and Hood more for the upside. But I won't blame you if you look to drop Rodney Hood in leagues, and there's someone else you want. Raul Neto, 16 minutes, 1 assist, 1 steal. He's just a placeholder starter. I don't really understand why they keep running him out there 15 minutes a night. Trey Burke, a dud night for him, 6 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, but he's been good enough for sort of the back end of 12 team leagues. And without Gobert, the Jazz started Trey Lyles for his first NBA start. He played 18 minutes, 2 points and 5 rebounds. There's nothing exciting there. Trevor Booker got 16 minutes. Nothing exciting there. The Jazz went really small for a lot of the game and enabled them to get other guys onto the court, like Burks and Hood and Hayward playing some 4 as well to enable Favors to play center a lot more. So I thought there'd be some value for Booker in daily fantasy. Then they announced Trey Lyles was starting. We bumped Booker's value back down on Basketball Monster, And if Gobert's out again, it's going to be a similar thing. I think that Lyles and Booker won't have a huge amount of value because they'll just go, they see how good Favors is at center, and they'll go with that lineup again. So just bear that in mind for the next game the Jazz play. On the Miami Heat, Chris Bosh went 25-8 with 4 blocks and a 3, a big night from him. Hassan Whiteside, 5 blocks to go with his 14 rebounds. And with no Dwayne Wade, Josh Richardson got the start. He started off pretty hot. He only played 21 minutes, 8 points and a couple of threes. He's still obviously only a deep league guy, but he's a guy that I do believe has a bit of value moving forward for dynasty leagues. Goran Dragic was a little bit better, 14-3-4 with a couple of steals, but it's still not awesome. And Justice Winslow played 27 minutes, 7 points and 5 rebounds. The minutes are up there. They're pushing 30 most games for Winslow, but the production is not enough for 12 team league guys. Beno Udrih in his first game played 17 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. I mentioned that earlier. Tyler Johnson is going to have that role, that primary role over Beno Udrih, I think, for the rest of this season, well, at least the immediate portion of this season. The Warriors, they easily handled the Minnesota Timberwolves. Draymond Green, look, any other night where Draymond Green was putting up a line like this, he'd be in consideration for monstrous line of the night, but not when Steph Curry's on your team. Green went 23-8-12. He had a Richie Beno, 2 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks on 8 of 10 shooting and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. So that is a massive performance from Draymond. He's leading the Warriors in assists per game at the moment, and he is just, somehow he's getting better than what he was last season. Interesting development from the Warriors. Festus Ezeli started, but Andrew Bogut played more minutes. So Bogut played 21 off the bench, 4 and 6 with 3 blocks, Ezeli 16 minutes in the start. Doesn't mean that we need to go and grab Bogut, but if you're holding on to Ezeli, if he's only going to get 16 minutes instead of 22 minutes, it is a bit of a drop-off, and then you could maybe consider dropping him if there's someone you want to add. And that's always the case when we're talking about dropping guys. Make sure there's someone that you actually want to add, and you're not dropping or you're not trading just for the sake of doing something. Klay Thompson, still struggling. 37 minutes for him, 15 points. A steal, a block, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 threes. There's still some okay production, but the shooting wasn't right there for him tonight. 6 of 16, but it's good that his minutes have come back up and he's over that back problem that was bothering him earlier in the season. He's still a really good buy-low option, but you definitely don't want to be taking him or paying second-round value for him at this point. Harrison Barnes, 2 threes, a steal, a block, and 14 points was a decent night, and that's, you know, he's been really good of late, but I just don't know if the upside is there for him to put up big numbers. The Minnesota Timberwolves, Ricky Rubio was out again with his hamstring, but Andrew Wiggins returned. 19 points, 5 assists for Wiggins, and he's just such a middling fantasy player to me. The points are there, but there's not much else to really get too excited about with him. Kevin Martin went 15-4-6 off the bench, and Gorgui Dieng had one of his better nights, but he's still only playing 18 minutes. 11-4, a steal and a block. The per possession numbers, the per 36 numbers for Dieng are still really good, but Sam Mitchell refuses to play him alongside Karl Anthony Towns, so he's just playing basically as a backup, and that's basically it. He's not doing anything else. So in a 12-team league, again, if there's someone else you want, it's great holding on to Dieng. If Towns gets injured, you're all over Dieng. You're adding him absolutely everywhere. But it's really hard to hold a 17-minute-a-night guy who's just not going to see the court alongside Towns. Shabazz Muhammad had his best night, 16 points in 19 minutes. And everybody's flavor of the moment, Nemanja Bjelica, in his 33 minutes, so he's getting those big minutes again, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a 3. Had someone tweet at me if I'm going to start believing in Bjelica as a fantasy asset. And yes, he has value, definitely. He's 9 cat leagues, he's ranked 85th. A lot of that, or some of that, is to do with the turnovers at 1.3. He's just a really low scorer. He's just not going to score big amounts. 8.8 points, the rebounds are nice, the nice assists. His steals and blocks are low, good three-pointers. It really depends on where you're going and what you need on your team. The fact that he's going 51% from the field and 58% from the free throw line is a little bit concerning as well, but he does have value. You want a rebounder who hits some threes, he's going to be your guy there. He can provide across the box score, but there's just nothing too exciting. The minutes are right there for him, but even in a per 36 numbers, like 10 points, 2 threes, 9 rebounds, 3.7 assists, and still not even a steal and a block per 36 minutes. So he does have some limitations in that area as well. And I'm definitely not hating on the guy. I like Bjelica a lot. I think he's a really talented player. But the shooting or the scoring is a bit of a detriment. And again, the defensive stats aren't awesome with him. I still think you want to own him now, but I'm not sure that the upside for him to get any better than this is really there. Towns had another double-double, 17-11, not much else for him though. And Zach LaVine got a start in place of Ricky Rubio. 13 points for Levine in 26 minutes. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And basically, he just got destroyed by Steph Curry. He's just not, he's not a great NBA player, in my opinion. He's not a shooting guard. Well, look, he's not a point guard. He's a very, very poor shooting guard. He's just not a good player. He can rack up stats, yes, when he gets an opportunity. Didn't happen today. But I'm not convinced that he's a good player. That's it for the Timberwolves. The last game of the night is the Los Angeles Clippers and the Phoenix Suns. This was not a great situation for the Clippers. JJ Redick was out with back spasms. Chris Paul sat out last minute with his groin problem. So that meant that Austin Rivers got the start, as well as Pablo Prigioni. And then Blake Griffin lasted just 16 minutes before getting ejected due to a second technical foul. So the Clippers, they basically just died as soon as Griffin was gone. Prigioni, the start in place of Chris Paul, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 threes. And he's only a steals and threes sort of value guy. Jamal Crawford, 18 points in his 25 minutes with 3 steals. If Redick and Paul are going to sit again, then Crawford's going to get that minute bump. So is Austin Rivers, who played 34 minutes. He didn't provide much, but he can provide some value. Griffin was, you know, he was on track for a big night, 11, 3, and 4, but only lasted the 16 minutes. We saw Wes Johnson get some more run with no Blake there, with no Paul, with no Redick. Wes Johnson, 14 points and 3 threes. He is a really good fantasy producer if he gets 30 minutes, but that's just not going to happen, I don't think. And DeAndre Jordan with another subpar night, 11 and 9, with a block in 27 minutes. Probably was Lance Stephenson's best game as well, 11, 5, and 2, 2 steals and a block. In subpar percentages as usual for Lance, but he got some extra run with those wing guys being limited. Onto the Suns, a huge win for them. Brandon Knight was awesome, 37, 2, and 4 with 6 threes. Eric Bledsoe just missed the triple-double, going 26, 10, and 9 with 2 threes and 2 steals. And those guys both shot in excess of 63% from the field, putting up some huge, huge numbers. PJ Tucker, 7 and 6 with 3 steals, 31 minutes, and the minutes of what you look at there, but I'm still not looking at owning him in most places. And TJ Warren, this is a very TJ Warren line, 25 minutes, 18 points, 1 rebound, 1 steal, 1 block, 7 of 10 shooting. He just struggles to be a 12-team league valuable guy. A lot of chatter going around about Tyson Chandler and should he be dropped. 28 minutes for Chandler, 5 points only, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. Not a great night from Chandler. Definitely, hasn't been a great start to him for the season. But this is something that we look at. He's averaging 8.7 points. Oh, sorry, that's per. He's averaging 6.8 points. So that's obviously well down on the 10 he averaged last season. But he's still getting 10.5 rebounds, a steal, 0.6 blocks. Those things should start to reverse. But the key thing with him is he's shooting almost 20% less than what he shot from the field last year. He's at 47%. Last year he was at 67%. He needs, if he gets that back up to 60, we're talking about a guy, again, at 10 and 10 with a steal and a block, or half a steal and a block, those sort of numbers. He can get back to that. So if he was dropped, I'd definitely be jumping all over him. This field goal, he's not going to all of a sudden become a 47% shooter. He should be a high 50s, low 60s sort of guy. So I'd look for him to bounce back. I wouldn't be too, there's a little bit of concern, but I'm not, you know, completely like, oh, he's crap, we need to get rid of him, or anything along those lines. John Lua played 24 minutes, 10 and 11. He's getting way more minutes than I thought he would ever get. And him and Mirza Teletovic got the extra bump with Markieff Morris out. I would think that Teletovic would probably get the start and leave Lua in the second unit if Morris happens to miss some time. It depends how much time Morris misses. I'm not adding those guys, maybe a streaming option, but they get some daily fantasy value if that happens to happen that Morris is out of action. All right, so we are done. That's the three games. Let's now head across and talk about the games for tomorrow, the 11 games for Friday. Before we do that, just a quick break. I saw ya. To Bryce Whitney for letting us play his band's song there in the intermission period. Okay, let's look at these 11 games for tomorrow. There's obviously a lot for us to look at in terms of injuries, especially. The first game up is Utah and Orlando. Rudy Gobert is questionable for Utah. And for Orlando, there's a few things we need to pay attention to as well. Jason Smith is questionable with his ankle. CJ Watson, who missed the last game with a calf strain, is questionable. And Victor Oladipo, there's pretty much zero chance that Victor Oladipo plays dealing with a concussion. He could miss the next couple of games with that concussion, so I would expect him not to be in. Now, there is no spread out for this one yet, no line, because we don't know the Rudy Gobert situation. But overall, it's a Utah game. Now, without Gobert, you probably allow higher scoring because of his perimeter defense, not perimeter, his interior defense. But still, yeah, Derek Favors is still a pretty good guy in there. CJ Watson's a guy to pay attention to. If we hear that he's going to play and start, he's priced at $3,600. He probably doesn't start, but I imagine he plays off the ball next to Alfred Payton some of the time. What the Magic did in the last game is they started Aaron Gordon. They moved Evan Fournier down to the two, but Gordon wasn't really productive. We have to look at, there's a number of ways that they can go. So you know, using these guys is a little bit risky, especially with Scott Skiles, because we don't really know what they're going to do. But in tournament plays, you know, CJ Watson at 3,600, Shabazz Napier at 3,700, who put up 27 points in the last game, is a decent guy to have a look at as well. And Aaron Gordon at 3,800. All those guys have the opportunity. So if you can throw those guys in at that minimum salary, or basically minimum salary, you might be able to get some pretty good value out of them. Where the value, I think, really is, so for cash games specifically, Evan Fournier is at 5,600. You know he's going to get close to 40 minutes, so he's going to be a very solid guy there. Nick Vucevic should get his minutes up. He played 26 in the first game back from his knee injury, so you'd imagine him to get closer to that 30 in the next game. Not sure it's a great matchup for him going against Favors or Gobert, but he could be someone to use. Derek Favors, though, at 7,800. If Gobert is out, it's almost a must-play situation. Even if Gobert plays at 7,800, Orlando does yield some points to opposition big men, and I think that Favors will be a guy who's going to be a pretty nice guy for a lot of lineups. Rodney Hood at 4,500 is probably more of a tournament play, but he has been averaging some pretty consistent numbers most of the time this season. He's putting out some good numbers. He only had 18.7 points in the last game, but at that low salary, that's not terrible. For the year, he's averaging 21.1. Some okay numbers and some not bad sort of cash game numbers. Gordon Hayward's really trending up at the moment as well. He got almost 40 in today's game. He's averaging almost 30 over the last few. At 6,600, he's still priced fairly low. But do you put faith in him being able to do it again? I think I do. I think he's a pretty decent guy to have a look at. Not many other guys really get me too excited in this one. Lord Alfred Payton and Toby Harris, no, not for me. They're both priced at 6,500, and I think there's going to be other options or other directions to go in this game, especially, again, considering it's a Utah game. There are other ways that you can go to get some value. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers up next. The Pacers are favored by 7. It's a low total, 198. We've got to look to see what Ricky Rubio's status with his hamstring and Rodney Stuckey with his ankle for Indiana, although that doesn't have a huge amount of fantasy ramifications. If Rubio is out, Zach LaVine becomes a nice tournament option. Yes, he stunk today, but he could be all right. He had a pretty decent game the game before, and he's priced at 5,600, so he's not all that cheap. He's not like putting in a 3,800 sort of guy. He's a mid-range price guy. So, yes, you can get him in some certain situations, but he's definitely not going to be a must-play guy. CJ Miles at 4,700, I do like him, as I do with Nemanja Bjelica, the opposition small forward or power forward. He's at 4,600, and he's been putting up just really consistent 25s and 26s. Those sort of numbers, and at 4,600, that's pretty good. Paul George has been going off, and we saw what Steph Curry did to the Timberwolves today, so he's in a pretty good spot as well. At 9,100, he's a very good high-priced power forward, and Karl Anthony Towns at 7,100 up against some pretty lackluster big men in Indiana. He's looking to bounce back from a sort of a down game by his standards, so he's not a bad guy to play, although he is now priced over 7,100, so it's not a must-play situation. Other guys like George Hill and Monte Ellis probably want to leave them alone. And Andrew Wiggins, who's now up at 7,200. Every time I seem to say avoid Andrew Wiggins, he goes out and drops 30 points. There's obviously some value in him in a tournament, but at 7,200, you need him to go out there and put up 36 or 37. And it just doesn't feel like something that's all that likely to happen. New Orleans and Toronto is the next game up. Obviously, the big one we want to look for here is Anthony Davis. He's considered doubtful at the moment with his hip problem, so we're assuming that he's not playing. don't really think anyone grabs much value out of the backups, but Ryan Anderson gets a bit of a boost. He's at 6,200. He's worth having a look at. Drew Holiday will be back as well for the Pelicans, so that sort of limits what Tony Douglas can do, and Ish Smith, although Ish Smith is still, he's been putting up numbers even when Holiday plays. I don't want to rely on him in a cash game situation because he's now priced at 5,800. But in a tournament, you think that maybe he plays 27 minutes, he can drop 10 assists, and that becomes worthwhile. Drew, obviously, I'm still steering clear of him. Eric Gordon's been really rock solid this year, 36 in his last game. He's averaging 30 or 30.5 in his last five. At 5,800, you think that he's going to be a pretty good guy to have a look out there against Toronto. And on the Toronto side, I really like Corey Joseph at 4,100. Even more so if Damari Carroll doesn't play, but without Terrence Ross, Joseph's going to get a pretty decent role anyway. He put up almost 25 in the last game. He's averaging almost 23 over his last five. He's had a 30-point night in there. At 4,100, it's really tough to go past him. A guy you can look at as a punt play minimum salary for the Pelicans is Alonzo G, but I would probably steer clear of him. Jonas Valanciunas at 6,300. Yeah, he's okay. I think that's sort of mid cash game value, not a huge amount to really look at there. And there's not much else in this game that I really want to pay attention to. Obviously, if Davis plays, he's always in consideration to be a guy that you want to look at, and especially if he's going up against Luis Scola and Patrick Patterson as defenders. You'd have to like that situation. But at this point, we just don't know if he's going to play, or if he plays, what sort of state he's going to be in. Atlanta and Boston's up next. The Hawks are favored by 1. It's in Boston. It's a total of 205.5 points. Avery Bradley is considered questionable for the Celtics, and if he is unable to go, Evan Turner gets a bit of a boost. He gets a pretty significant boost. He's priced at 6,000, though. So do you think that he can go and put up 30 again? There's a chance. He's put it up already a couple of times this year, including the last game, but Evan Turner is notoriously variable in his production. So he's probably a guy that you can put in a couple of tournaments, but don't rely too much on. Same with Jared Sullinger at 5,500. Look, we project him to go really big here, to get close to 30 points. But it's also Brad Stevens, and he could do anything just to mess up the value of Sullinger. So keep that in mind as well. And Jay Crowder is priced at 4,800. He's been getting a stack of steals. I think that he is worth a look at that sort of price. A punt option, Kelly Olynyk. Again, we just don't know which of the big men is going to get time for the Celtics, so he's someone that's worth a look. And Isaiah Thomas at 6,900. He was a little bit disappointing in the last game in terms of his output, but he's been putting up some solid numbers. I don't reckon I would play him in this spot, but there's a little bit there to like. The big men in Atlanta, probably the two of the best stories of the year in terms of their production, Al Horford and Paul Millsap. I think both of them are relatively decent. Horford's a guy at 7,700, though his price feels like it's come up too much for me, so I'm not sure it's a great situation for him. And Paul Millsap at 8,500. Oh, it's hard to avoid him, but it's also hard to play him at that sort of price. He had his best game of the season pretty much last game at 45 points. And at 8,500, he needs to get close to that to really get close to returning value. Jeff Teague at 7,600 is not an appealing option to me either, nor is obviously Kyle Korver. Kent Bazemore's price has come up a bit at 5,100. He was really, really down in the last game. I'm okay with playing him at 5,100, though, in certain situations. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks is the next game we're going to take a look at. The Cavs are favored by 6. We've got a total of 201 in this game. Not much to really talk about injury-wise in this game, thankfully. Although we did get some news on Kyrie Irving's injury today, saying he's looking to be back on court in a couple of weeks. Hopefully he's doing some contact work in practice, so maybe 2 or 3 weeks away for Kyrie. So that's obviously good news there. Fantasy value in this one, you have to love Mo Williams at 6,100 going up against Jose Calderon and even Jerry and Grant. I think he's going to be pretty good value. He's been red hot at the moment, putting up some big numbers, averaging 32.7 over his last five. And Robin Lopez at 4,800. He's been quite variable. He's more of a tournament guy to look at, but I think against the Cavs in a relatively high over-under game, he's an okay guy to look at. And Kevin Love, whose price has now risen to 8,000, he has some value as well. Now LeBron at 10,200. Not sure that I really want to spend 10,200 on LeBron James in this matchup against Carmelo Anthony. Not sure it's a great situation, and vice versa with Carmelo Anthony. At 9,400, yes, he's been putting up some okay numbers, but not enough for me to think that spending $9,500 on him is worth it. Kristaps Porzingis, we all know how well he's been playing of late. At 5,600, though, his price feels like it's come up a little bit too much. And there's not many other guys who I really look at and go, yeah, there's stacks of value in these players. The Charlotte Hornets and the Chicago Bulls, the last time these two teams met, the Hornets pummeled the Bulls with a barrage of three-pointers. The Bulls are favored here by 7 at home, the total of 199.5, and there's a couple of injuries we need to pay attention to here. We have Joakim Noah, who's probable with a knee injury. It appears that even if Noah does play, that Nikola Mirotic will get the start. Spencer Hawes is dealing with an ankle sprain as well, as is Cody Zeller. For Charlotte, and Kirk Heinrich, who has missed the last few games with a toe issue, is not someone who we really need to pay a huge amount of attention to. Overall, I don't love much of the fantasy value in this game. There's just not a lot that that really stands out to me. Nick Batum at 6,600 is okay. Mirotic at 5,800. He's been probably a tournament-only guy, dropped 34 against the Sixers in the last game. But overall, I think that everyone's salary makes it really hard to have a good go at them. Jimmy Butler was disappointing in the last game, no doubt. But at 7,800, you want him to go out there and drop close to 40. And his best score this season is only 41. He hasn't reached 40 in the last five games. Not a great situation for him. Same with Joakim Noah at 4,400. Even if he's back, I don't want to be dealing with that knee problem. Jeremy Lin's been a guy who's putting up some decent numbers of late, averaging 22, but he's almost at 5,000. You want him to go higher than that to return value. And obviously, Pau Gasol is too expensive, I think, at 8,000. And Derrick Rose at 6,900 is not a guy that I want to spend money on. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, there's blowout written all over this one, even with Kevin Durant out. The Thunder are favored by 13. We have a total of 208. Obviously, Kevin Durant is out. And last year when Kevin Durant was out, that just was basically an automatic 60 points for Russell Westbrook. His salary is pretty much matching that, 11,200. The blowout factor, there is a concern there. In a cash game, I think it's hard to go past him. In a tournament, I reckon I'd go the other way because the chances are that he doesn't have to play 35 minutes and they can run DJ Augustine out there some more and give campaign some minutes. So it might not be the greatest situation at that $11,200 salary for Russell Westbrook in a tournament. So bear that. Yes, he's going to be awesome and put up numbers, but is it going to be enough numbers at that sort of price when he needs to drop 55 or 58 points, which he can easily do? Not sure. Not sure it's the best situation for him in that sort of situation. Nerlens Noel should be back. He's probable with the sore wrists. I actually like him at 7,400. I think he's a good guy to have a look at. And Nick Stauskas at 4,300 has been struggling a little bit, but I like him to get back on track in a tournament sort of setting. Steven Adams at 4,300 seems to be over his back problem. Not a bad guy to look at there. And Serge Ibaka at 6,900 also has some value, I think, in this sort of situation. Hollis Thompson at 3,800. It really depends on if Rashawn Holmes plays and there's some extra minutes and the Sixers could run some smaller lineups at times. So he has a little bit of value for a tournament. TJ McConnell is now priced up to $5,000. At $5,000, it's making it harder to play him. When he was down at 4,42, yes, great. But at $5,000, it's making it a little bit more difficult. Jahlil Okafor at 6,700. He's been putting up some really big numbers of late, averaging 35 in the last five games. I'm okay with getting him out there at 6,700. It's not like that Enes Kanter is going to be a big restriction on him. Steven Adams might be an issue, but Okafor's been really turning it on of late. As for the guys who are going to benefit from Kevin Durant's absence, Dion Waiters at 4,800, Kyle Singler at 3,500, and Enes Kanter at 6,300. Billy Donovan mentioned that Enes Kanter was going to get more minutes or more looks without Durant out there. So at 6,300, we could see more of late 2000 or early 2015 Enes Kanter. So he's a guy at 6,300, even though the price tag is steep, that he could go off and he could drop a 30 or a 35-point game. So just keep him in mind. But Dion Waiters has been the guy in the last couple of games who's been putting up nice numbers. He's priced at 4,800, and I think he's an okay guy to get out there and have a look at. Most of the other guys, like DJ Augustine, not really a huge amount of value in him either. The next game is the Portland Trail Blazers and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are favored by 7 here. It's a low total, 196.5. There is going to be no Myers Leonard. He's out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with that dislocated shoulder. Damian Lillard is likely going to play. He had his thumbnail completely removed after it was partially removed during the game, so it's been completely removed, and that's more of a pain management thing. He'll be fine. no need to be too concerned about him. I do like Mike Conley in this game. Yeah, he struggled at times, but against the backcourt of Lillard and CJ McCollum, they're not awesome defenders, so Conley could be in a spot for a pretty decent return. And Lillard himself at 9,300. Against the Grizzlies, a slower down sort of situation. Not sure I really love him. I do like McCollum, though, who's been a little bit down in the last few games. He's only averaging 25.8, and at 6,400, you want him to produce way more than that. There's a little bit of value in him, but not massive amounts. And if they're going to keep giving Marc Gasol 40 minutes a night at 7,300, I think you have to like him, especially as the Blazers are now one big man down. Al-Farouq Aminu should get some extra run too, so at 5,800, he's a guy that you have to consider. And if you're going to take a flyer on guys, Gerald Henderson at 5,000 could have some value because he could see 28 minutes as the Blazers move Aminu down to the four. It could be Mo Harkless. It could be Noah Vonleh. It could be Ed Davis. So we don't really know exactly how this is going to play out, but there is a little bit of value in some of those guys. Hey, it could even be Alan Crabb, who's priced at 3,600. So one of these guys could start to have some value, and in tournaments, you know, creating lineups with a few of those different guys in there might work out well for you. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks. Kobe Bryant is considered questionable with his back issue. Chandler Parsons is questionable as well, as it's a back-to-back. We don't know if he's going to play this one or if he's going to sit Friday, play Saturday. We don't know at this point. Regardless, we're avoiding Chandler Parsons in all daily fantasy situations. Julius Randle is probably the best value guy on the board here. He's priced at 5,900. I really like him to put up numbers in that sort of situation. And not many other Lakers guys that you can really rely on. Larry Nance has been putting up good numbers, and he's priced at 3,600, but don't think we're going to be looking at him in too many spots. And for the Mavericks, Dwight Powell at 4,500. He's been returning value on a pretty consistent basis. Devin Harris at 4,000. He's a guy that is not a bad guy, play to play, especially with guards getting a bump against the Lakers. And same with Zaza Pachulia, a big man who put up big numbers against the Lakers. He's at 5,500. He's averaging 24.7 over his last five. He could be a 30 to 31 point guy in this matchup against Los Angeles. Darren Williams is another guy who could also take control as a point guard at 6,400. You have to think that Lakers bump puts him in contention to put up some decent numbers. Same with Dirk at 6,700. All these guys playing the Lakers, you know they're going to get somewhat of a bump. Now, Dirk's been playing out of his brain. Does he continue that? There's a chance that he drops off a little bit too. The Lakers guys like D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, Nick Young. Look, you'd think that Young and Clarkson and Russell get a bit of a bump if Kobe sits. But of course, when your coach is a massive dickhead like Byron Scott, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows who's going to play? And that makes them all pretty much tournament options of just, let's see what happens if Kobe plays or if he doesn't. If he does play, then it's increasingly harder to own those guys. The Houston Rockets and the Denver Nuggets is the next game up. Dwight Howard is going to sit one of these games. It's either going to be the Friday game against Denver or the Saturday game. I'm banking on it being a Friday, and then he can play the Saturday game at home against Dallas. This is on the road, but we don't know at this point. At this stage, I've got Howard listed as doubtful, meaning I don't think he will play, and I'm adjusting lineups based on that. Therefore, Clint Capella at 4,600 is someone you definitely have to have a look at. Against a Denver team who may be without Joffrey Lavernier as well, Capella could be a guy who could put up 30 points easily at that price. Marcus Thornton has been red hot. He's still priced at under 5,000. I think you've got to keep running with him. And James Harden at 10,000 against Denver as well. I think there's obviously blowout potential here, but Harden could easily put up another 40-point scoring night and cross into the 50s in daily fantasy points. Now, Terrence Jones, let's avoid him until we see actually what role he has in this second game. It hasn't been good so far. Same as Ty Lawson. Although Lawson's in a revenge game situation, he's at his former home. Maybe he puts in a slightly better performance. So if you're banking on that, there's a little bit there too. Emmanuel Mudiay, I think, will be pretty keen to face off against Ty Lawson here at 6,000. He's not a bad option to look at. And Kenneth Faried at 7,000 has been putting up some pretty solid stats lately. You want him to be a little bit better, but the Rockets do play at a fast pace, so that could inflate some of his numbers. I'm avoiding guys like Gary Harris. Will Barton's at 4,700. He is averaging 21 points in the last five, but you need him to do more than that at 4,700. And not much else to really look at there. The last game of the night is the Brooklyn Nets and the Sacramento Kings. Darren Collison has been ruled out already, so what are we going to do? Another 48 minutes of Rajon Rondo? That's what's happened the last two games, so it could happen again. The Kings are favored by 6. That's how shithouse the Nets are. The total is 205 points in this game. So there could possibly be some fantasy value. Seth Curry is also questionable, but he's looking to be sort of upgraded to probable. So he might play, and that might take some of those 48 minutes away from Rondo. As it stands, though, Rondo at 6,800 has been putting up some fantastic numbers the last couple. I think you still have to consider running him out there. And Marco Bellinelli at 3,800. Yes, he put up a stinker in the last game, but you think that, especially if Seth Curry doesn't play, Bellinelli will handle some point guard minutes, and he should do much better than the 8 points he dropped in the last one. So he's a guy you can have a look at in tournaments. DeMarcus Cousins at 10,200. I think that he's one of the best big money plays on the board. He was awesome in the last game. I think against the Nets, he should be able to destroy them. And Kostas Koufos is a cheap 4,100 option who struggled in the last one. He's not a bad option. Thad Young at 5,700. For some reason, Lionel Hollins stuffed his minutes around in the last game. Don't really know why. He was actually putting up some pretty good numbers. He's a guy we can pay attention to as well. And Bojan Bogdanovic was red hot in the last game. And he's 4,200. He becomes a solid tournament guy to me. Rudy Gay at 75 and Brook Lopez at 8,000. Probably want to steer clear of them. And I'm not expecting Joe Johnson to put up almost 40 fantasy points in this game. Well, that's it. We're done for the games. Let's have a look at the value plays for the day now. At point guard, Corey Joseph, 4,100. Rajon Rondo, 6,800. And Russell Westbrook, 11,200. At shooting guard, we've got Marcus Thornton at 48. CJ McCollum at 6,400. And James Harden at 10,000. Small forwards are Jay Crowder at 4,800. Trevor Ariza, 5,700. And Paul George, 91. At power forward, Dwight Powell, 4,500. Julius Randle, 5,900. And Kevin Love as the expensive option at 8,000. And at center, we have Clint Capella at 4,600. Zaza Pachulia at 5,500 and DeMarcus Cousins at 10,200. All right, that does it for today's podcast. Make sure you are following me on Twitter at redrock_bball, checking out hardwoodparoxysm.com and basketballmonster.com. And remember, if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, just leave a review on iTunes and you can be a sponsor for the day, just like everyone else who's done that so far. Check out moneyball.com.au. That's it. Good luck to your fantasy teams. Good luck to your daily fantasy lineups. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.